Welcome to the My Third Bloom podcast, where we get into unfiltered conversations about the powerful journey of aging gracefully during perimenopause and menopause, breaking taboos and embracing transformation. I'm your host, Trisha Blake, founder, CEO, and Chief Awesome Officer of My Third Bloom, where we are on a mission to empower those experiencing perimenopause and menopause. We're guided by empathy and fueled by innovation. We provide support, education, and resources. Whether you're navigating the roller coaster of hormonal changes or seeking a supportive community, you're in the right place. Buckle up and get ready to bloom with strength, wisdom, and grace.
Hey, listeners. Welcome to the next episode of the My Third Bloom podcast. And in case you're wondering, I know I sound like a very, very different host to this podcast. That's because I am. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson, and I'm so, so excited to step into host mode today because today's guest is no stranger to the mic, but today she is switching seats. That's right. She's the powerhouse founder and CEO behind My Third Bloom, a tech-forward movement helping women confidently navigate perimenopause and menopause like the queens they are. She's also a change practitioner at the City of Toronto, a fierce believer in the power of spatial computing to elevate wellness and education, especially for underrepresented communities. But she doesn't just stop there. She's a board director with Courage in Action, part of the leadership team at XR Women, and a double duty podcast boss, okay? Not only hosting the My Third Bloom podcast, but also executive producing Empowered at My Skin. Yes! A true multi-hyphenate on a mission. She's passionate about making education accessible, uplifting women and youth, and rewriting the narrative around what it means to thrive in midlife. So please welcome the dynamic, the brilliant, the bloom and blooming rich auntie in the metaverse, Trisha Blake.
Come on. I'm sorry. Listen, I don't know how often you get to even get one of your bestest people in the world to introduce you. I'm the one asking the questions usually. So sitting in the seat feels like, you know,
feels a little hot. From what? Feels a little hot.
Like I go from DJ to karaoke singer. Like, what's up?
Well, I love it. So then I get to open up with exactly that. So you're usually the one asking the questions. And today The mic is turned on you. And so how does it feel to be a guest seat of your own podcast?
Oh my gosh. But is it a hot flash or am I sweating? I don't know.
Get that fan, girl.
Where them fans at?
Get that fan out. Okay. So yeah. Let's start with a little bit of context for our listeners. Okay. Because I think you probably would have shared it in the trailer episode, but you know, even I think our stories evolve as we evolve. And so you've now done a couple of seasons. And so, you know, as you start to think back, you know, has anything more come to the surface in terms of the why and the, you know, and what inspired you to start My Third Bloom? And what does Third Bloom mean to you personally at this juncture in this journey?
Oh my gosh, that is a fantastic question. I really believe, you know, there's definitely an evolution. You know, I've bloomed and I continue to bloom through the journey. My Third Bloom was definitely born out of necessity, you know, hitting a moment, a time or season in my life where everything felt like it was shifting, you know, my body shifting, my relationships are shifting, my sense of self even, and the whole narrative. The narrative around midlife and menopause were either I'm on the internet, I'm the Google, I'm scrolling to figure out what's going on. Even from a clinical perspective, because you know, you go through and you have your annual checkups, but that was never a conversation. I'm too young, you know, as it relates to even perimenopause. And so just feeling completely disconnected from what's happening to me and knowing that something felt off. Like I didn't feel that I was being represented. Where was the me in menopause, right? So creating the space and just realizing, creating it for that, but realizing that it's so much more, that I really want to be inclusive. I want it to be tech forward. I want it to be Like, how do you future-proof this? Mm-hmm. I want, you know, my third bloom to be culturally grounded, rooted in community, you know, rooted in love. And from that seed, I think, came everything else. Like, it started with the seed of let's have the podcast back in, you know, 2023. And that was just the jump off. And then, oh, we're going to go full on for season one. Then looking at in the tech world, how I use immersive experiences to educate and to advocate and to even empower, and how to even leverage AI. Mm. And I think just to answer the question of, you know, the third bloom, like, it's an evolution without apology.
Ooh.
You know, mm. We're going from the first bloom, you know, could be youth. I think initially I was like, yeah, you know, well, there's three stages of menopause, you know, peri, there's menopause, and then there's postmenopause. But then, you know, just thinking of our entire human experience from birth to you go through, you know, youth, the second sometimes is motherhood for those that choose, or that second bloom is career.
Mm.
You know, it's whatever you might choose. Mm. And whatever it is, it's where I think wisdom has the opportunity to kind of meet freedom, mm-hmm. but figuring out what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's redefining beauty mm-hmm. standards. It's redefining power, and it's redefining, my third bloom is redefining relevance
mm-hmm.
on my terms and helping others do the same. So mm-hmm. it's a declaration that, you know what, because they were saying, oh, we're done. Yes, stop having your period. Can't produce any more eggs. Mm-hmm. It's a declaration that we're done. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Yes, it's not at all.
This is just the beginning. Absolutely not. This is a best.
Yeah, there's actually something I need to go back to. I was listening to a Jay Shetty podcast the other day, and it was about aging. And she actually stopped in the I can't remember who he was interviewing. I actually shared that episode with you because I thought it was really actually profound because it covered a lot of ground. But she really talked about we need to just stop the language of we're getting old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there was a way that like I said, I want to go back and actually take notes of it, but I just want to double click on that just and personalize it a little bit in terms of, you know, what was that moment in your season of life that made you realize that you're entering into your third bloom?
Ooh. I think it was more reflection. I'm going to go back journey wise, health challenges,
mm-hmm.
you know, the irregular periods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when I was saying that there were so many things happening in life
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and not really understanding
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
what it was. But what I was certain of was who I was. And like, I didn't subscribe to the, I'm getting older. I was like, I don't even, I look 52. I'm going to say I look 52, but then I'm like, no, there's no way she's 52. But no, I am 52.
You look your age.
Old.
The hashtag.
I look my age,
hashtag,
right?
You look your age. Yeah, I like that hashtag.
I just recognizing and an awareness. There's a self-awareness that came and just an appreciation as well for my body and going through a journey of, you know, regular periods, heavy periods. What's going on with that? Fibroids. Okay, this is what it is. Well, what can we do? What are my choices mm-hmm. to kind of fix this and resolve it? And knowing that there was power mm-hmm. In that and having the right, you know, medical team to be able to answer the questions mm-hmm. for me, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. to seek that out and to be intentional and persistent because yes. it took a while.
Yes.
I think to get there, but just the journey itself and just faith, like, hey, you know what? You will not fail. Like, you know what I mean? It's just beautiful. I don't know. And I wish more people would be able to see that, but sometimes the symptoms and everything else that's going on and the mental health impacts don't always allow you to
That's right. So you, on your show though, you do talk a lot about, like, I think a lot of the conversations end up, you know, they're a little bit transformative, right? Like, so taking somebody from where they are on today to help them think about something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you have had how many episodes to date so far?
We did 13. Well, actually 13 plus 4, 17 plus 20. This one I think is 22.
22. Okay. So about 22 episodes, you've spoken to a lot of really, like amazing guests, right? Like, you know, profound experience in this space, experts and like so many experts. But what has been most surprising truth through the conversations that you've had, that you've uncovered about yourself?
Ooh. I know my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like throughout it all, like I actually know my truth, and I might have doubted it,
mm-hmm.
or had others be like, no, 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 you're too young for that.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. Like this is what is happening. It's okay. It's actually okay. I think the profound for me is starting to name what's really true for me without any kind of shame. So whether it's a symptom, whether it's they found some fibroids, but we're going to figure it out, right? We're going to deal with it and knowing what my options are. Even just having the dream to create my third bloom, and how that can transform people's lives. Cause there is a lot happening right now from when I probably started years ago. And I think the seeds were planted before the podcast.
Right.
That in itself, mm-hmm. like just giving myself permission to be able to take up space in educating, empowering, and advocating. And I think the other profound thing is that advocacy is really important to me,
yeah.
and helping women with that specific journey, because yeah. we often don't know how,
yeah.
and the medical system can gaslight you, and there's so much information on TikTok or Instagram that you're receiving it, but you're not necessarily doing anything with it. And going back to knowing what's true for me, and letting others I think that was transformative, because then I'm having these, yeah, because then the conversations are happening in places that I would never have imagined, like in my workplace or with my two male best friends who are now sending me, you know, links and book recommendations about menopause whenever they see stuff about it. I'm like naming what's true for me so then the others know what that truth is.
Yeah. So because I'm so close to you, you've had a couple of micro events around menopause, and
yeah.
you know, you just wrapped up a macro event on May 3rd called Menopause Matters. And so I believe that event was bold, it was necessary, and it was beautifully done, by the way.
Thank you.
What led you to create this space?
Well, honestly, I have to give a shout out to Inspire Her Inc., Gail Tomlinson. We met last year at her event.
Yeah.
And I think one of the micro events she was interested in attending, but it had conflicted with hers. I think it might have been the next day. And so there was interest.
She came to one, though.
Yeah, so it was before. So I think her event was in October, and I had done something for World Menopause Awareness Month.
Right.
And so the conversations had started from there, just bringing awareness. How do we empower women? There's so much information. We need to know, like, we're often walking through this, you know, in a cloud almost, where we're feeling isolated. So we had a conversation and it's like, let's collab. And so that's how the collaboration started.
Mm-hmm.
And we planned
and you executed. You know, I love it.
Executed on it.
I loved it. So, and
awesome.
Powerful or unexpected insights that emerged from the event?
Oh my gosh, so many. Dr. Sheila Wijaya Singha is just a gem. Okay. She is brilliant. Seeing women come together in that way, it felt like a homecoming. I don't know if, yeah, I want, you know what? I think when it came down to experience for me, the aha was to see it feel like a hug and a homecoming.
I love that.
And it actually did mm-hmm. in the space,
mm-hmm.
you know, where people are sharing, they're seen, they're heard, they got to ask questions. Mm-hmm. We got to celebrate,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we're talking about all of the symptoms
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just so boldly
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and to have vendors selling things that could support you. All of it. Yeah, I don't know. It was so good. It was so good. Even just having the humor, and that's a big part of my personality.
Yes, it is.
I got to bring a little bit of levity to it. So opening up with a skit, which was hilarious.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. I missed that. You didn't tell me.
It was good. Menopause hotline, how may I help you?
You'll have to tell me about that afterwards. So, you know, even if you think about your event, and I know I use the word bold, necessary, but I use that because around the whole cloak of silence that is typically, you know, attributed to this journey. In like, in sort of Trisha Insights, why do you believe that cloak exists? And I know you're doing the work to help exonerate it or to distill it. But why do you think it's there? And what's the hardest?
Society and culture. Mm. I think it's society and culture. We live in Canada. We're a diverse country. We all have individual experiences. And I think just how we individually, how we've been raised or not educated about it is one of the reasons why that cloak of silence is there. Mm-hmm. Because you're not supposed to talk about that at work. You're only supposed to talk about business. Mm-hmm. But I bring my whole self to work. So why can I not talk about it? I can't share that with my children. Oh, but your children see you. If anybody sees you, your children or your partner see you. But, you know, society tells you to put on the mask, right? So I think menopause matters. Of course, menopause matters because, you know, it's time to take off the mask and name it. That's why I go back to your truth, right? When you start to name it, you name the symptom, you name the boundary, whatever that is, you just do that, you know, unapologetically. Yeah. But society doesn't allow you to do that. But I think the Gen Xers and the older millennials are reclaiming that, you know, as no, that's not acceptable. My mom or my grandmother might've been like, oh yeah, it's, you know, we just lived with it, but why do we have to just live with it? If I don't feel like myself, I'm not feeling like myself, and I know this to be true, why do I have to live with that?
Yeah, with that. And you don't. And, you know, it's interesting because as I think about that, I also recognize societally, people live very easily with chronic illnesses. Right. Like how many times might you be talking to a colleague or a friend who says, oh my God, I sprained my, like, why are you limping? Oh God, a week ago I sprained my ankle, or I, you know, hurt my back. It's twinge. And like, it's like, have you gone to see?
Nope.
People like physio, like they have benefits here in Canada. We have great benefits. People ain't using massage therapists, ain't using physiotherapists, ain't using chiropractors, like everyone's doctor, everyone. Doctor self
and not doing it well,
right? And then when you factor on that or label or add on that for women, anything that's around our womanness adds another layer on top of already just this lack of, I like a self-advocacy, right? I think self-advocacy is saying that I'm not supposed to feel this pain. And I mean, you know, you and I share a physiotherapist and the minute I feel, oh, what is that? I'm like, hello, Dr. Heather.
I'm there.
Because she has ingrained in me that after 3 days, it's chronic.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. It's chronic. And I'm like, oh, no chronic illnesses for this girl. But thank you for your platform. So you talked about hugs. You talked about, hold on. Hugs and homecoming.
It's a homecoming. It was like a big homecoming for us to come and talk about menopause.
Yes.
And perimenopause.
Yes.
And all the things.
And all the things. And
you come with it.
And you've gotten some feedback since the event. And so which ones have resonated with you most?
The big thank yous. Like the thank you that I have something to go and speak to my doctor with. Mm-hmm. For the ones that they've actually been turned away. If their doctor was like, yeah, I'm not touching that. It's like, no, well, now I have information to have that conversation. And that's, I think, the ethos of My Third Bloom and you're now empowered to have the conversation. And if that conversation isn't going the way you like, mm-hmm. you can go and find another conversation. Because mm-hmm. you don't actually, we don't have to accept that that is it.
Or you can challenge the conversation that you are having a challenge. Little bit more empowered.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you have some information and you have evidence-based information. Because right now, everybody is a menopause coach. Everybody is a menopause influencer. I just want people to have information.
The right information.
The right information. Mm-hmm. You have choice and you choose. Yes. And I think the big thing is that to take action, because it would be, I think I would have failed if you have the event and they didn't come away with anything mm-hmm. and there was no action taken. Mm-hmm. And when you hear, I now can have that conversation, or, oh, you know what? You know what someone said? They're like, you should do this with moms and daughters. Mm. I was like, absolutely. Mm. You know, elevating the conversations in the workplace mm-hmm. or when you're sitting with your friends and you actually don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at each other like, oh, you too. Mm-hmm. You've named it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe you realize come up with that you're menopause not alone. Starter, what is it? Conversation cards, you know? You know that?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's on the list. It's on the list. Listen, it's on the list of things because it's important. Mm-hmm.
So keeping on in terms of that importance, being a podcast host myself, we are storytellers, essentially, right? Like we are helping people tell their story. And so how do you decide the stories of your own to share? And has vulnerability ever felt risky for you?
For those that know me, that's a tough question. Yes. the sharing. Mm-hmm. And I think last year was probably the first time that I shared publicly where I think I took a photo and shared my fibroid mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. And just whatever, you know what? It's always whatever, you know what I mean? The shared experiences, your lived experience can help someone live.
That's right.
I think that was the shift. So it's just like, as much as I might be holding it, because I don't want to talk about it or I don't really want to bother anybody. But no, you're bringing light to it. You're allowing someone else to live. You're allowing for the shifts to happen. It's, this is real. Mm-hmm. And it's not in your head. Cause sometimes that's just the message that you need. You need to be loud because we haven't been loud. Like, right. Look at what a lot of the whole study on women's health and menopause hormone therapy in the 90s, you know, that whole study got shut down because of the information that was there on how it may have impacted women and the cancer scare. And that went on for like 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to, they're taking that back. They're trying to rewrite that story, but mm-hmm. the damage has been done.
Yes.
And so now we're trying to come out of,
and the stories need to be louder in order for that.
The stories damage, have to be louder.
Yeah.
And I think you need to take on the other thing is the momentum. So just go, I think when I said before early on about knowing my truth, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. So what advice then do you give to women who are, you know, because I have a really close friend and someone that you know too, right, who feels that this experience has really knocked her out. But what advice do you give to women stepping into this new chapter who may be struggling to find language for what they're experiencing?
I think it's start by naming what's true for you. Mm. Really start with that. Mm-hmm. Like that is
so. Just name it. Like I have aches and pains. I have unexplainable things, right?
Yes. Yeah. Name mm-hmm. it. Name mm-hmm. it and name it mm-hmm. without judgment mm-hmm. and name it without any kind of shame. And from there, that's where you give yourself the permission to kind of navigate or move to that next space. Yeah.
You know, I actually love that you say that. And I'm not going to, because the person might be listening. I don't want to call it out too much. But it's like, I'm so actually tired of people adding more labels to already a very labeled society, right? Like We label introvert, we label extrovert, we label imposter syndrome, we label this syndrome, we label, everything's got a label, and then they're shared, and people just fall under the label, and suddenly they're the label. And to your point, I really, really like name it, like give it voice to what you are experiencing. Yes. Rather than the label, because I think the labels hinder. Like to just say I'm going through, I'm just going through. A lot of women ignorantly just say I'm going through perimenopause, but have not given, because even in the journey of perimenopause, I do believe, and I could be, because I know my experience. I like to say that I'm really understanding more so, uncovering my truth. Some of it has not been. And so if I'm not able to actually distill it, name it, be very specific to the symptoms, the things that I'm going through, and then having a conversation with someone, they're like, I don't know what that is, but let's, you know, I won't get even treatment for those micro things that I might happen to be experiencing coincidentally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But then you know your body.
But then you know
you your do body. Know what you know your body. And I think that's also another, the key pillar. You know what I mean? That stone that you know your body best. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes for that care, you need to name it. What's true for you? You know what's going on with your body. If it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. If I'm always like the, I think the other thing too, is the emotional aspect of perimenopause, the changes that do happen. We don't talk about that enough. And that actually is significant because we don't talk about it. People aren't talking about it. Yeah. And so they'll just see their suffer in silence, and, or then you end up being labeled as moody, difficult.
But it's interesting because I'm going to just double, I'm just going to increase a little bit of a challenge there for a second. So let's just say somebody who has never been a really great sleeper. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're not sleeping well, female, not sleeping well. You know, they have the kind of, habitually go to bed late, don't sort of have a great sleep patterns from their early 20s. Very natural way, like very ingrained way of living for them. And now they're in their 30s or 40s, and now they're feeling lethargic and maybe, you know, less energy than they had when they were in their 20s. But because they never treated or address sort of their sleep patterns or how to sort of gift themselves with great sleep, I'm actually wondering, like, that could get mirrored into their perimenopause journey to the point I was trying to make, where if they just say, I'm in perimenopause, but we know that one of the symptoms in perimenopause is sleep. So now they're, it's all mirrored in that they don't know the sleep experience that they're having now, how much of it is aggravated more because they never treated. That's why I was actually making that comment, that I think that societally people just don't advocate. And when we give things just, I'm in perimenopause, without taking your approach, which is name it more specifically. What are you experiencing? You haven't been a great sleeper, but how is that? Like, has that changed even further? Like, I just don't think people double click like that sometimes.
Oh, no. And I think that's the part of advocacy that we need to work on. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if our bodies are shifting in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it's our entire body. So it might not be, you know, you might not have any issues with your periods, but it might be with your joints. Like, the things that you're noticing, you might not be noticing the other things. So we have to, I think when we hit our 40s or we're entering quote unquote into perimenopause, it's to pause and reflect. So going back to the naming it, what has changed? If your sleep has always been like that, what else is changing? What has been longstanding? Because there are probably other shifts that you might not have noticed. So it's honoring, pausing to honor our body's long history. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And paying attention to what is happening in this new phase, that means you need to be still, right? And reflect. And that deserves space in that healthcare conversation, right? Because I can relate to the, I've always been, I feel like an insomniac. You know, my sleep hygiene needed to be better, but was there other things that were going on? Yeah.
And I think that's fundamentally what I'm so proud of in terms of what you're doing with My Third Bloom and the legacy that you're actually leaving. Because I think your platform is offering an opportunity for women who may not actually know how to do that, getting some, like, just the next step, right? Like, and so now I'm going to just, by the way, right, keeping to the timing of your episodes, would you believe, I've already been picking your brain for about 30 minutes, so I'm going to start to wind this down a bit, but like, you know, so maybe as the last message in the core part of this interview, and then we're just going to go into some fun and reflection and stuff. You know, as you this might be a little bit reflective, but if you speak to your younger self, you know, pre-Bloom, what would you say to her to prepare for what's ahead?
Track everything. Pay attention. Look at the data. The data tells a story.
Yeah.
Even if you're not necessarily looking at it, but the apps. Mm-hmm. And back then, I'm not that old, but the apps aren't like the apps are right now. Mm-hmm. We have so many apps that, or tools at our fingertips that can help us.
Mm-hmm. What's an app you like?
I like Glow. I'm creating my own, actually.
Nice.
Are we creating my own? And again, just surrounding advocacy. Mm-hmm. It can be as simple as, you don't even need a sophisticated like App Store app or Google Play Store app. Your notes app in your phone, native to, you know, Apple or Android, just tracking what's going on. Because it's one thing to say my sleep isn't good, but does it mean that you're waking up at the same time? You're up longer. You know what I mean? Like, to go a little bit granular, are you having hot flashes during that time? Is there a difference in how you feel, how tired you are, or how wired you are? You don't need a fancy app to tell you that. You can even just send yourself a voice note.
Right.
You know, to track it. And that's information you can bring to your doctor.
Yeah. I like that. And the simplicity of it, and don't go crazy. Just use a native app. By the way, I just happened to notice that you talked about the native app. In alphabetical order, Android is first before Apple, but you did mention the Apple app first. So I'm just...
Listeners, listen.
Inside joke, y'all. Inside joke, y'all. But I just want to say, you did name Apple before Android. Just saying. it was the first thing out of your mouth as you talked about the native applications. But anyway, just want to call that back. You can listen. You can definitely rewind and you can replay. But so let's have a little bit of some fun and some final reflections.
Wait, you know what? Yeah. Before you jump to that, I think the other thing people, we underestimate stress in our lives. And the how that carries. And stress, cortisol is a hormone. So when we're talking about, you know, the hormones, it's not just the estrogen, it's not just the progesterone, it's also the cortisol. And for anyone that is either late 40s, like depending on how old your parents are, if you have children or if you don't have children, but there might be that caregiver thing too. So there is a lot that's happening. Just knowing that it's insomnia, I'm just tired. No, it could be work. It could be family. It could be a lot of different things. That's why you need to kind of unpeel that onion a little bit and really, really look in.
And so beyond stress, and I'll ask you this before I get into fun and reflections, because we do have to wind down. is there anything else that you feel in this moment that you're called to share that I haven't asked you about?
I think grace. Giving yourself, you got to give yourself grace. And I think just speaking to the women who've been told to shrink or stay silent or wait their turn, disrupt that silence, disrupt that change. Like, we are half the population.
Yes.
You know, this is actually like, I was reading something the other day and we're talking about the longevity economy. Like, this is about longevity and what are the things that we need to do to, you know, support that economy.
Yeah.
in a really healthy way.
Gotta think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, I'll always go back to naming it without change, without shame, naming what's true for you.
I love it.
Don't know where to start. Come and sit with us at My Third Bloom. Look.
So in that regard. So, let's have a little bit of fun and some final reflection. So In My Third Bloom, I am no, so complete the sentence. In My Third Bloom, I'm no longer willing to
be silent and just accept the status quo.
Okay. One mantra or affirmation that's grounding you these days?
I am rooted in love.
And if listeners remember only one thing from this conversation, what do you hope it is?
Android forever. No.
Too late.
You said. And if you cut it from the video. I'm going to know. What's one thing?
Yeah.
It can't just be one thing.
One thing. Because sometimes you can't take it all. One thing, one, you have the microphone. There's only one thing from this conversation.
You know your body best. Mm-hmm. You know your body best. Listen to your body. It is a wealth of information, and take that information to advocate for yourself.
Thank you, Trisha Blake. Thank you. Trisha Blake. Thank you. Thank you for being a front runner, a trailblazer, a bold, rich auntie in the metaverse, an advocate for all things on this journey to help women and partners and the men in our lives and the youth really start to understand and be well prepared. There's nothing better. I would say there's education, and that's really, really important. I think that the key thing that I want to call out is getting the practical tools that actually incite action. Because I think you can have education, but it's if you don't know how to use it. And I think you're teaching people how to use the education. So thank you so much.
You gotta use it. Education, advocacy, action. You gotta do something with it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, so I feel so flattered to be the host on your podcast today, and I look forward maybe to being invited back next season to do this again with you. But
yes.
You are quite awesome, and I am truly, truly, truly blessed to have you in my life. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And this is where we say, and actually I'm also going to share a full blast because Trisha's probably hearing it first. I am also going to publish this episode as an episode on the Empowered My Skin podcast. So it's going to be open up to, yes, to, because Trisha and I have been trying to do this for a really, really long time. And so I'm going to ask you, because this My Third Bloom is on as part of the Empowered My Skin Leadership Academy library that we are launching. So otherwise like a podcast kind of network, a podcast repository of information. So I have to ask you. In true Empowered in My Skin fashion, what does that mean to you?
Ooh.
What does Empowered in My Skin, so for people that are listening, what does, my parting question in all of my interviews I do is, what does Empowered in My Skin mean to you?
Empowered in My Skin in this season means to me feeling fully confident, grounded, and at home in my body, my identity, and my truth. Without shrinking, editing, or even apologizing. I don't need to fight it. Mm. I think once we let go of the fighting, mm-hmm. fighting our body, I don't need to fight my body. I'm just learning to listen to it. I trust the skin that I'm in, even when it's changing. Mm. And I think there's
power. And you've had some skin changes too. Oh. I love that. That's a big, that's a big one right there for people that don't know.
Yeah. Self-acceptance without conditions, I think, is, being empowered in my skin. And, name it. I can name what I feel. I can ask for what I need. Mm-hmm. And I can say no without guilt.
Yeah. I love you, Madame Trisha. Blake.
I love you more. I don't know. We're not doing that right now.
I really do think that the listeners are going to say, wow, that girl in K2 really, really, does Trisha really know how massively she loves her? Like, it's just so in every word and everything that she said, every expression. Yeah. Anyway, it's a lot how much I love you. And to everyone that's listening, this is Sally, where we say we're out.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of My Third Bloom. If you found value in our conversation, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your support means the world to us and helps us reach more incredible souls like you. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Connect with us on social media at My Third Bloom, visit our website, and be part of our thriving community. Until next time, keep blooming and embracing the beauty of your third bloom. This is Trisha Blake signing off with peace, love, light, and grace.